Daniel Dietrich from Victory Baptist Church in Marysville, Michigan, an evangelist out of there. And I am married to my favorite wife, Alyssa. When you get married, make sure she's your favorite wife and your only wife.
That's right.
We'll just clarify that up right now. But no, it's great to be with you all. We've got our three boys with us. David's the oldest, then there's Isaiah and Josiah. And so we're definitely honored to be here with you all this evening. Thank you, Brother Fry, for extending the invitation to come out. And this evening, I'm going to invite you to turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles in chapter number 22. 2 Chronicles in chapter number 22. This week in our evening times together, Monday through Friday night, we're going to be looking at two characters in the Bible, and learning some very important lessons from their lives. One of them is by the name of Ezra. How many of you have heard of Ezra? And the other is by the name of Jehoiada. Anybody heard of Jehoiada before? Well, I've got still a few people that know who I'm talking about here with Jehoiada. But those two men are going to be the men that we are looking at this week and this evening as we consider what I believe is a necessary truth for each one of us to consider here in 2 Chronicles chapter 22. 2 Chronicles chapter 22. We will be in chapter 23 as well today. But as we come to this first individual, we're going to be looking at Jehoiada over the next couple nights, next few nights. And as we come there, Jehoiada lives in a time known as the divided nations of Israel and Judah. Now, if you have a little bit of a knowledge of Bible timeline, just put in your mind, if you recognize Saul and David and Solomon, those are three kings who reigned during the United Kingdom of the nation of Israel. Under Solomon's son, Rehoboam made some pretty foolish decisions where he resultingly split the kingdom. And there are 10 tribes in the north that go with Jeroboam, and the rest stay down with Rehoboam in the south. One thing to know about the kingdom in the north, the northern kingdom of Israel, in their 210 roughly years of existence as a divided nation, they never saw a godly king. All their kings followed in the footsteps of Jeroboam, who made Israel to sin. That was his legacy that he left for all the kings to follow after him. Rehoboam, on the other hand, in the kingdom of Judah, there were good kings and bad kings, godly kings and evil kings. We had Rehoboam, who's not such a great king. Abijah, his son, who still wasn't a great king. He ascribed to God on a national level, but didn't allow God to do a work in his own life on a personal level. Then his son Asa was a godly king. Unfortunately for Asa, though, even though he saw Judah come back to God in his latter years, he didn't end up serving the Lord all the way to the end. Then his son Jehoshaphat comes to the throne. Now Jehoshaphat is also a godly king, yet in Jehoshaphat's reign, there is some compromise that he makes with the godless king of the north. You might be familiar with the name Ahab. King Ahab, whose wife, Jezebel, brought in the Baal worship to the northern kingdom of Israel. What Jeroboam did was bad with the golden calf in Bethel, first king in the northern kingdom of Israel, but what Ahab brought in brought Israel a lot deeper and far wickeder. Why I bring him up is because Jehoshaphat had his son marry Ahab and Jezebel's daughter. Now, we wouldn't see anything really happen on a national scale while Jehoshaphat was alive, but when Jehoshaphat died, his son Jehoram, who was married to Ahab and Jezebel's daughter Athaliah, come to the throne, vastly wicked king. Slaying his brother, he reigned for 8 years. The Bible says that when he died, the people didn't even mourn his passing. He was that wicked of a king. His son Ahaziah comes to the throne, and he reigns for 1 year, and he is wiped out. He is slain, which brings us into our historical account here tonight. Queen Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, the wife of Jehoram, the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, the daughter-in-law to Jehoshaphat, she sees an opportunity, and she takes over the throne of Judah, the southern kingdom, and she goes on a purge to kill every single person that is part of the seed royal of the line of David. She wants nobody left, so none of David's seed has the right to sit upon the throne of Judah. That's her goal. That's her mission. we introduce you now to a man named Jehoiada. And Jehoiada and his wife come on the scene, and the Bible says that as Athaliah came to the throne and she did this, Jehoiada's wife, Jehoshabeath, actually hid a little baby boy by the name of Joash. They hid him for 6 years inside the temple, the house of the Lord, and then they would come out to lead a coup, if you will. They would overthrow Athaliah and her government and her tyranny that she had in Judah to bring the nation of Judah back to God. Because she didn't want anything to do with God, mind you. She brought the nation back into farther down into Baal worship. We say, okay, Daniel, why are you saying all this? Why is all of this important? Because there were strongholds, if you will, that existed in Jehoiada's day that he had to be willing to tear down. And we're going to look at that over the next few nights between Jehoiada and Ezra. And the strongholds that they had to be willing to tear down, those same strongholds still exist, or they exist in our land, throughout our society, throughout our culture today. And what we need to note about these strongholds is that the devil, Satan, will utilize these strongholds to blind people from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil is going to use things, these strongholds we're going to talk about, to blind people from the gospel. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the Bible says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the eyes of them that believe not." If you're here today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, my friend, I pray that this week you would make that most important decision. It's the most important decision you can ever make in your life, to put your faith and trust in Jesus as your Savior. Because the devil wants to keep you from that relationship, but he has not a single best interest in mind for you. So there's strongholds that exist in our culture, in our society, in our country. What we need today, what each one of us need to be today, and if you're taking notes, this wouldn't necessarily be the title, but you could call this the title to all five of the messages that we're going to look at in the evening hour. It would be stronghold razors. Now, before you spell razors, we get ready to spell it different. We're not talking about the raise that you raise something out. So we're talking about R-A-Z-E. R-A-Z-E. Anybody have any idea what we mean then by when we're talking about stronghold razors? I'll go way in the back, David.
To erase.
To erase, yes. To destroy. To tear down. And so it is my prayer for each one of you men and women that are here this week that you'd be willing to be used of God, to be called to rise up and be a generation of stronghold razors who will go out in our society, in our culture, in our country today, and tear down the strongholds that the devil's using to blind people from the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, what are the strongholds? Well, make sure you come back each night. I mean, I know you guys are going to be here tonight because you're here at camp. And if you're not here at camp, your team counselor is probably saying, hey, where's so-and-so? Oh, they're in the cabin taking a nap right now. So I'm sure that won't be the case at all. But 2 Chronicles chapter 22 and verse number 12, we come back into our story. Jehoshabeath, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's son that were slain and put him and his nurse in a bedchamber. So Jehoshabeath, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada, the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah so that she slew him not. And he was with them, hid in the house of God 6 years, and Athaliah reigned over the land. And in the seventh year, Jehoiada strengthened himself and took the captains of hundreds, as Azariah the son of Jehoram, and Ishmael the son of Jehohanan, and Azariah the son of Obed, and Maaseiah the son of Adiah, and Elishaphat the son of Zikri, in a covenant with them. And they went about in Judah and gathered the Levites out of all the cities of Judah, and the chief of the fathers of Israel. And they came to Jerusalem, and all the congregation made a covenant with the king in the house of God. And he said unto them, behold, the king's son shall reign, as the Lord hath said, of the sons of David. Remember, Athaliah wiped out all the seed royal of the line of David, so that no one could sit on the throne. And she wants to plunge the nation of Judah into Baal worship. They have rescued a little baby boy by the name of Joash. Verse number 4, this is the thing that ye shall do. A third of you, part of you entering in on the Sabbath, of the priests and of the Levites, shall be porters of the doors. And a third part shall be at the king's house, and a third part at the gate of the foundation. and all the people shall be in the courts of the house of the Lord. But let none come into the house of the Lord, save the priests and they that minister of the Levites. They shall go in, for they are holy, but all the people shall keep the watch of the Lord. And the Levites shall compass the king round about, every man with his weapons in his hand, and whosoever else cometh into the house, he shall be put to death. But be ye with the king when he cometh in, and when he goeth out. So the Levites and all Judah did according to all the things that Jehoiada the priest had commanded, and took every man his men that were to him coming on the Sabbath with them that were to go out on the Sabbath, for Jehoiada the priest dismissed not the courses. Moreover, Jehoiada the priest delivered to the captains of hundreds spears and bucklers and shields that had been King David's, which were in the house of God. And he set all the people, every man having his weapon in his hand, from the right side of the temple to the left side of the temple, along by the altar in the temple by the king round about. Then they brought out the king's son and put upon him the crown and gave him the testimony and made him king. And Jehoiada and his sons anointed him and said, God save the king. Now, when Athaliah heard the noise of the people running and praising the king, she came to the people into the house of the Lord, and she looked, and behold, the king stood at his pillar, at the entering in, the princess and the trumpets by the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced and sounded the trumpets, also the singers with instruments of music, and such as taught to sing praise. Then Athaliah rent her clothes and said, treason, treason. And Jehoiada the priest brought out the captains of hundreds that were set over the host and said unto them, have her forth of the ranges, and whoso followeth her, let her them be slain with the sword. For the priest said, slay her not in the house of the Lord. So they laid hands on her, and when she was come to the entering of the horse gate by the king's house, they slew her there. And Jehoiada made a covenant between him and between all the people, and between the king, that they should be the Lord's people. Then all the people went to the house of Baal, and brake it down, and brake his altars and his images in pieces, and slew Mattan the priest of Baal before the altars. Also Jehoiada appointed the offices of the house of the Lord by the hand of the priests, the Levites, whom David had distributed in the house of the Lord, to offer the burnt offerings of the Lord, as it was written in the law of Moses, with rejoicing and with singing, as it was ordained by David. And he set the porters at the gates of the house of the Lord, that none which was unclean in anything should enter in. And he took the captains of hundreds, and the nobles, and the governors, and the people, and all the people of the land, and brought down the king from the house of the Lord, and they came to the high gate into the king's house, and set the king upon the throne of the kingdom, and all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet after that they had slain Athaliah with the sword. As we look here at this passage here in 2 Chronicles 22:23, a lot seemingly going on here as Jehoiada is leading about his people to bring this land back to a covenant relationship with God. But there's somebody in the way, Athaliah, who's seeking to keep the kingdom, the land of Judah, in darkness. And I believe we see Jehoiada as a stronghold raiser. But in order to be the stronghold raiser, Jehoiada needed to have a faith to break the odds. Jehoiada needed to have a faith to break the odds. And if you're taking notes, that would be the title of the message, The Faith of Jehoiada That Breaks the Odds. The Faith of Jehoiada That Breaks the Odds. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we look into your word this evening, Lord, would you give us open hearts and minds that are focused to hear what you'd have for us tonight. Thank you for each one of these men and women that have come out here, Lord. I pray that you would bless each one of them and help us to be a week where we would draw closer to you. Lord, as you would work in our hearts, Lord, may we be changed by your word. As a Christian, that we'd be a more effective Christian for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if any are here that do not know you, that tonight they would come to know you as their personal Savior. Help me, Lord, to say only what you would want me to say, nothing more, nothing less. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So as we look here tonight at Jehoiada, we look at a man who had, I believe, a faith to break the odds. There were strongholds. Athaliah really was that one, that force that was standing in the way from keeping the nation of Judah back to a covenant relationship with God, and Jehoiada was going to be the one who would rise up to bring his people back to God. And the reality of it is, my friends, is we ought to make it our desire, our prayer, our plea to God that would say, Lord, would you give us a generation with the faith of Jehoiada to break the odds? Lord, would you give us a generation with the faith of Jehoiada to break the odds? I believe if we're going to have the faith of Jehoiada, we can effectively engage with this first stronghold that is staring right down at us, that exists in this culture today, but that also existed back in Jehoiada's time, And that is the stronghold of Satanism. The stronghold of Satanism. Keeping people from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even the infatuation with darkness, with the things of Satan, with demonic things. We need to have a faith of Jehoiada that would combat against this stronghold of Satanists. To raise it, to destroy it, to tear it down. Jehoiada's day under Athaliah saw the devil making strongholds for 8 unhindered years of darkness and departure from God. I gave you that little bit of a history of a backdrop just to get in your mind of where we are. Athaliah comes to the throne, Ahaziah, her son, has reigned a year. Jehoram, her husband, has reigned 8 years. So we've got 8 or 9 years of spiritual darkness over the land ever since Jehoshaphat has died. A godly king, mind you, but one that was unfortunately tainted with some compromise that would affect the generations to come. And so Athaliah, when she's coming to the throne, they are already in a spiritual darkness for 8 years, and Athaliah is going to come and keep pushing them further and further into that spiritual darkness. We say, well, how does that relate today, Daniel? Because over the past decades, even in our society, even in our culture today, we have seen the removal of God from the public square and the encroachment of satanic strongholds even in our land today. So, don't believe me? Check out what looks to be the fastest growing holiday in our land today. The fact that you can't go into a grocery store or a chain outlet, at least where I am in Michigan, I don't know where it is exactly where you all are, from Pennsylvania or other states, but the recognition of the fact that you can't go into stores by September, maybe even August, without being bombarded with stuff for this dark holiday, Halloween, that comes at the end of October. There's an infatuation with the things of darkness. Again, you don't believe me, all you have to do, really, my friends, is walk down a toy aisle in your normal store. In Michigan, we have Meijer's and Walmart's. Walmart's are everywhere. When we go out west to Nevada, we come to a big town that has a Walmart. We don't have a big town, we're thankful for a Dollar General when we're out in evangelism going out west. But Walmart's are everywhere. You can't go down a toy aisle without seeing toys that are literally stuff that's infatuated with darkness, with Satanism, with demonism. All you have to do is take note of some of the books and entertainment today, and you'll recognize something, that our culture is inundated with Satanism. And Satan will use that to blind the lost from the gospel of Jesus Christ. You don't need to know that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. Just enjoy all of this stuff that I have for you. My friends, make no mistake about it. The devil hates your guts and he doesn't want your best interests. He wants to destroy you. And for the Christian here that would be here, you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The reality is this. The devil still hates your guts. And all he wants to do with your life is to make you ineffective for the Lord Jesus Christ. Push you off to the sideline so you can't run that race that the Lord Jesus Christ has set for each one of us. And you're disqualified. People can't see the Lord Jesus Christ in you. And you're going to just live your life for yourself. Why do I bring all this up? Because the stronghold of Satanism that was in Jehoiada's day is still a stronghold that is in our day. And if we're going to effectively raise, R-A-Z-E, tear down, destroy, if we're going to raise this stronghold, then we, like Jehoiada, need to have a faith to break the odds. A faith to break the odds. If we're going to raise down this stronghold of Satanism, we need to have the faith of Jehoiada to break the odds. That's how we're going to do it. You say, okay, what does this look like? At the very core, it is a faith that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the type of faith that can look ahead and take on the insurmountable odds. This is the type of faith that we can forge forward in life no matter what's in front of us because we have the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. Now, you'll hear it said in culture and entertainment that just have faith, or all you need to do is have faith. But faith in itself, what good is that, my friends? The placement of your faith, rather, is of utmost importance. Have your faith placed in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, Jehoiada was a man, mind you. I believe he had a relationship with God through the Messiah. Hear me out. We look back on what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary about 2,000 years ago. He shed his blood for the sins of all mankind, that if we simply admit we're sinner and capable of saving ourselves, we believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins and that he rose again from the grave, and then we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is the Messiah, we can have a home in heaven for eternity and a restored relationship with God that had been broken by the fall. Back in the pages of the Old Testament, before the Lord Jesus Christ came, they looked forward to what the Messiah did. You know, in Genesis 3:15, God was making a promise to Adam and Eve about the seed of the woman that would come. Biologically, this is an impossibility because the seed comes from man, not from the woman. And God was there in Genesis 3:15 giving the promise of a virgin-born Messiah who would come and pay the price of all mankind's sin. Genesis 12:2, this is why when God was speaking to Abraham, he said, Abraham, in thee shall all families, all nations of the earth be blessed. He said, well, how are all nations of the earth going to be blessed through Abraham? Because God would say, Abraham, through your seed, I'm going to send the promised Messiah who's going to pay the price of all mankind's sin. So indeed, Abraham, through your seed, all nations of the earth will be blessed. Even the nation of Israel, as they would offer their sacrifices on a day-by-day basis, the animals that they would sacrifice, the lambs that they would sacrifice, they didn't do it to earn merit with God or try to gain entrance into heaven. They did so to remind themselves that I'm a sinner in front of a holy God, and I need a Savior. And one day that Messiah is coming who's going to pay the price of all mankind's sin. Jehoiada, I believe, my friends, he was a man that had a relationship with God through the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that would be the case for each one of us here today, that we would have that relationship with God through the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. It was about what Jehoiada did. His vocation was a priest. Now, when I use that word priest, my mind, I'm thinking, okay, I know what I'm talking about with the Old Testament. But back in the pages of the Old Testament, these were the priests, the ones who would offer the sacrifices. We are not talking about what would be commonly thought in your mind if you're thinking of things today as a priest in Catholicism or the Catholic Church. That is not what we're talking about at all. We're talking about an office that was held in the nation of Israel. They'd offer the sacrifices to remind the people of Israel that we're sinners in front of a holy God. His office, his vocation showed to him that the Messiah was coming. But even as a fallen human being, Jehoiada recognized this, that the Messiah was coming, that he needed a Savior. There's some indisputable facts, friends. There's a God. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. And I'm not a sinner because I sin. I sin because I am a sinner. I am a sinner by birth because I am of the seed of Adam. We're all related. We all trace back to Noah. We all trace back to Adam. And as Adam sinned, we all sin. And so sin has entered in this world. That's why Jesus Christ had to die for all mankind's sin. That's why Jesus could not be born of an earthly father, because he would have inherited Adam's sin nature. That's why he was virgin born. Jehoiada here, right here, had a faith really to break the odds. You say, well, how did he have this faith to break the odds? Three simple truths. He had a break the odds faith in the heart of unbridled evil. In the heart of unbridled evil. This is the type of faith that he had. A faith to break the odds in the heart of unbridled evil. What was the unbridled evil? Verse 12, chapter 22. And he was with them in the house of God 6 years, and Athaliah reigned over the land. We've already considered who Athaliah was, a vastly wicked queen. The daughter of Jezebel and Ahab, bringing in Baal worship, wiping out the seed royal of King David and all his descendants who would have the right to sit upon the throne. And she was on, if you will, a satanic warpath, bloodshed in full spring, trying to plunge her nation into the depths of Baal wickedness. Her father Ahab had taken the north into the debauchery. It says in 1 Kings 16:29 through 33, if it had been a light thing that Jeroboam had brought in the golden calf at Bethel, Ahab brought in the false worship of Baal. She was on a satanic warpath. Much like, if you will, the woke ideology agenda of the society in our culture today, who wants to throw out every aspect of God, who wants to throw out every aspect of even Western civilization, of the Judeo-Christian heritage that we have, and say, and bring us to the brink where God's out of the picture and they can have their way with elevating things that Satan would want. And as we consider this, we ask ourselves the question, does the evil seem too great? You guys are an up-and-coming generation, and there's a lot of bad things going on out there in our society, in our culture today. Things that are legal today that necessarily, when I was even growing up, and I'm only 33 years old, were not exactly legal or in law in our land today. A lot of things, Brother Fry would probably be able to talk to you. I mean, he's the right young age of 71, isn't it, Brother Fry? Very young. I've made sure to say that yesterday and today. And I'll always make sure to say that if I ever wish to come back here. I'm kidding. But the reality is our culture keeps going farther and farther into, not godliness, but wickedness. Things that are normal to you might not have been normal to me, might not have been normal to a past generation, because we're going farther and farther into it. And the reality is we need a generation of Jehoiadas, if you will, to rise up to take on the strongholds in our culture today. We say, we need to be willing to say, God, would you use me to wage war on the stronghold of Satanism? You're not going to do it, though, unless you have the faith of Jehoiada. A faith to break the odds. A faith firmly rooted in Jesus Christ, but a faith to break the odds in the heart of unbridled evil. Does the evil seem too great, or does your faith feel small? Does your faith feel small, or is your faith the victory? Our faith is the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has already won the battle for us. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you are on the winning side. But here I'm going to tell you, sometimes it's easy to forget that I'm on the winning side. And it's easy to look around me in the world today and say, ah, look at all the evil going on around me. I'm just going to throw in the towel and give up and I'm going to go live for myself. I'll be safe. No one will be out to shoot me. No one will be out to kill me for speaking truth. That's been the reality in the past year, even in our nation today. You speak truth, you're killed. That's reality. We're in a spiritual struggle for the soul of our nation. But there's a great power behind that. Satan, who is seeking to bring men and women to a Christless eternity in hell. So, men and women here tonight, what are we going to do about it? We need what Jehoiada had, a faith to break the odds in the heart of unbridled evil. How would you like to be a Jehoiada hiding this little baby Joash, you and your wife, and if Queen Athaliah hears about it, guess what's going to happen to you? Pretty sure about that. Because she's trying to destroy the whole seed royal. 6 years you have to hide baby Joash as he grows up out of sight of Queen Athaliah. He had a faith to break the odds in the heart of unbridled evil because he recognized that he served a God that was greater than that which was in front of him. And again, there is that which is in our land today, the leftist ideology that would seek to outlaw a Christian. Call me by my pronouns. Don't say a thing as to what God thinks of my lifestyle. We have in our nation today even a greater force that is coupled up with the leftists, and that of Islamists, who would seek to destroy us of our Judeo-Christian heritage, seek to kill us. There is an onslaught in our nation today that would seek to rip away every shred of God of our nation, and then rip away every shred of us as a people in our land. This isn't fun and games. It's a real dark world out there. But don't lose heart. Because if you know Jesus as your Savior, you can, like Jehoiada, have a faith to break the odds, even in the heart of unbridled evil. Sometimes it's easy to think about it and say, I look at it, I'm just going to despair. What am I going to do? Remember, greater is he that is in you than is he that is in this world. You might be wanting to say, well, I'm just suffering from unbelief. It's just got to be this way. It's just got to be this way. It's got to get worse and worse, and there's nothing we can do about it. Well, we ought not to suffer from unbelief, but we ought to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the majesty on high. We ought to have our eyes set upon Jesus. We ought not to grow apathetic and say, oh, there's no use, Daniel. So many people are just living for themselves. Why is it that people quit on God? Why is it that people quit on serving the Lord Jesus Christ? There's just no use. I'm going to go live for myself. Don't grow apathetic. Jeremiah, when the nation of Judah was going into captivity by the Babylonians, he gave them a promise. He said, look, if any nation that is doing evil will repent of the evil, God will also repent of the evil that he's designed to do against them. You know what Judah said? There's no hope. But we will continue, everyone, go after our own devices and go after the imagination of our heart. There's no way that God can forgive us. There's no way that we can come back to God as a nation. We're just going to go after our own ways. My friends, don't let that be you. Don't grow apathetic when you say, oh, no, I'm just going to throw in the towel. Rather, live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Have a faith that breaks the odds in the heart of unbridled evil. Second truth, and we're moving right along, a break the odds faith in the reality of an insignificant age. An insignificant age. Now, use that because I want to relate Jehoiada to our life. You say, oh, you mean age. What do you mean? How old exactly was Jehoiada when he went and hid Joash? Any guesses? Anybody want to take a stab in the dark?
57.
Anybody want to go above or below? Above or below? No one's willing to take a guess. Yes, sir?
43.
Okay. No more guesses? Five hundred bonus points. Not anything for camp. Just smiley faces. Just to say you're doing a good job. Nobody else? I'll go here.
21.
75. This guy's our closest one thus far. Go ahead and look over at chapter 24 and verse number 15. Going to do a little bit of math here. 24:15. But Jehoiada waxed old. This is under Joash. Joash has gotten, Joash reigned 40 years. Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died. 130 years old was he when he died. Joash has reigned about 40 years. Jehoiada has passed away somewhere in the middle of Joash's reign. So we're going to make it an easy computation, rough estimate. Jehoiada is probably about 100 years old at this time. And he was willing to have a faith to break the odds. Now, let me tell you something. If Jehoiada is 100 years old, now we remember before Athaliah, there was Jehoram and Ahaziah, that was 9 years. You had Jehoshaphat before that, a godly king. I'm off the top of my head, I might be wrong, but I want to say 25 years for Jehoshaphat. But then you also had Asa before him, and Asa saw a great return to God. Jehoiada saw a lot of good things happening in the nation of Judah coming to God and serving God. He could have literally been like, I remember the good old days, 40, 50, 60 years ago, back when we served the Lord, God of Judah, God of Israel. But you know, these days, it ain't going to happen anymore. We're just going down to hell in a handbasket, so I'm not going to do anything. But you know what Jehoiada didn't do? He didn't allow his age to deter him. Anybody here 100 years old? Okay, I don't think so. None of the campers, at least. And the reality is this. I wasn't inferring anything on the outside of the campers. I heard some breathing. That wasn't my point at all. But the reality I'm bringing, let's flip it on the other side. Do you ever feel like your age is insignificant? But I'm just, certainly I can't do anything for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm only 13 or 14 or 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, going up into the 30s. I can't do anything for Jesus Christ. My age is insignificant. Let me tell you something. That's exactly where the devil's going to want to get you. Yeah, no one's going to listen to you. But all it takes is one to be fully willing to be used by the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can do great things for God. Society has it set up today, even in our culture today, that you can't really be out on your own, if you will, till you're like 18. You're trying to support yourself even at that age. But the reality of it is you can do stuff for the Lord Jesus Christ a long time before the time you're even 18 years old. You can. It's possible. Whatever age you're at, God can use you. Naaman's servant girl, she wasn't that old, but she said, would to God that Naaman would know of this prophet in Israel who could heal him of his leprosy. An insignificant age Jehoiada had. He had a faith to break the odds in the heart of unbridled evil, an insignificant age, but also in the numbers of a minority. Break the odds, faith in the numbers of a minority. In verse number 12, the Bible says that Joash was hid with them 6 years in the house of God, and Athaliah reigned over the land. Jehoiada was in the minority, and it posed a grave danger for he and his wife with baby Joash. 8 years of spiritual darkness and the culture turning from God, it's hard to stand out when you feel like you're the only one. What would happen if Athaliah found out about the baby? How about even when it was 500 to them against Athaliah's entire Judean domain? They were in the minority. You ever feel like you're in the minority sometimes? You ever feel like we're in the minority today? That our cause for Christ, that our cause for freedom is one that is in the minority? It's okay. We've got the Lord Jesus Christ on our side, do we not? If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Even the founding of our nation, as there was a battle in the War of Independence, the realization is the majority of the folks there were not all on the side of the colonies. Dr. Chuck Harding, as a historian, a Baptist historian, has said this, that 33% of them were on the side of the colonies, 33% of them were British sympathizers, and 33% of them were fence riders. You really didn't have the majority of people who were on the side to seek the independence that we have in our nation today. But their motto, their rallying cry there in the War of Independence was no king but King Jesus. And time after time again in the War of Independence, God stepped in for our nation, even our nation back in its founding years, and helped them. When they were trapped on Long Island, the British had them surrounded on land and by sea. George Washington recognized the only way to get off the island was to get across in the boats, and so they started building the boats and they started crossing the river, and God allowed a wind to come to separate the British ships, and then they were able to start getting across. But Washington recognized that as morning was coming on, as dawn was setting in, that not even half of his troops were across, and the battle was basically over. The England would have won, but then something really weird happened, quote unquote weird. A heavy fog came in where you couldn't even see your hand in front of your face. And that heavy fog lasted there until the last boat had made it safely across to the other side. And you realize, you recognize that God, in fact, has stepped in and given our nation even victory, even for those in the numbers of the minority. Other examples we could give, but for the sake of time, we're going to move on and recognize that minority-majority is not to be a point of concern. It's about the winning side. And Abraham Lincoln once said, my concern is not that God is on our side, but rather that we are on God's side. God has historically worked in the numbers of the minority, my friends. Gideon against the Midianites, 300 men against a massive army, and God won the battle. 4 lepers in a besieged city of Samaria against the whole army of Syria. And the Syrians thought that they were a massive army coming upon them. God won the battle. God won the day for that city of Samaria so that they wouldn't starve to death. Judah, under Hezekiah, they were surrounded by Assyria, Sennacherib, saying, we're going to come and kill you. And that night, the angel of the Lord came out and slew 180,000 Assyrian troops, and they go home in defeat. Judah, under Jehoshaphat, and as they faced off against an insurmountable foe of the Ammonites and the Moabites and those of Mount Seir, as they came up to the valley, they were praising God on instruments, and they came to the battle scene and they saw something. Dead men everywhere. God had fought the battle for them. They didn't have to fight the battle. My friends, when your faith is planted in Jesus Christ, numbers are a trivial thing. It doesn't matter what others are doing. It doesn't matter that they're going to live for the world and live for themselves. Don't follow after them. Live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Daniel, how do I take on the stronghold of the day, the stronghold of Satanism? Just like Jehoiada did back in his day 2,900 years ago. Have a faith to break the odds. My friends, do you have this faith to break the odds? Where is your faith? Jesus Christ is the sure foundation that propels us to live it out in the heart of unbridled evil and the reality of an insignificant age and the numbers of a minority. This type of faith will break the odd. This type of faith will raise the stronghold of Satanism. So the question for each one of us today is this. So where is the faith of Jehoiada in this generation? Heavenly Father, we ask you that you would, in this building here tonight, raise up a generation of Jehoiada. Raise up a generation, these men and women here, that would have the faith of Jehoiada. Lord, if there's someone that does not know you as their Savior, would they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ? They cannot effectively destroy strongholds in our land. They are a byproduct of the stronghold of Satanism. They are held in sins, chains. Lord, would you free them? They realize they're a sinner and they can't save themselves. Jesus died on the cross for them, that he rose again from the grave, and that he is their Lord and Savior. Lord, for the Christian here tonight, would you make it our heart's cry to have the faith of Jehoiada. Though the evil may seem unbridled today, though our age may seem insignificant, though the numbers may be minority, Lord, give us that faith of Jehoiada and help us to make that resolution. Lord, I will have the faith of Jehoiada. In Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. If you stand